Joining us now from the Scranton Times Tribune, my old friend who gives great perspective, Donnie Collins. Donnie, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
It's great to be here. See, it's great to have football season back. Yeah,
absolutely. It's great to have it back. Let me ask you, before we get to that, did you get any gauge either personally or from people you work with about high school football attendance last week in your area?
We start this week.
Start this week. So it starts for you this week.
Oh, no. Actually, my bad. My first game is this week. So, they did start last week. I was on vacation last week. So,
I gotcha.
But I did get to a game. Our high school, my children attend Abington Heights High School, and they had they put turf down on their new field at the high school. They don't usually use that field for games, but that was pretty well attended. We went up for a couple of minutes because we could walk to the game, but I didn't hear anything huge about any differences in attendance at high school games. But I've noticed over the past few years anyway that it's been on the decrease. So I think it'll be interesting to see what comes of that this year, you know, with more people kind of skittish about going out.
Yes, which then brings me to obviously the games that we cover. I know Wisconsin tomorrow is not sold out. They had 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 seats available, something like that. And someone expressed surprise to me about that, and they said, "Nah." I said, "You know what?" I said, "Tens of thousands are comfortable going." I said, "But there's a segment that still is not comfortable based on their own circumstances." I mean, do you read it the same way, Donnie?
Yeah, I believe so. We obviously have the AAA Yankees here, and attendance has been down. And that's an outdoor stadium, middle of summer. Back and they started playing when the numbers were quite a bit lower, but attendance, you know, it has been down. And look, I mean, I think, you know, when you hear, I'll use Penn State for an example, 107,000 people, you know, it's amazing that they get that many people in every week to come to a game, but it's still 107,000 people, you know, to pay pretty good money to go to a game and be in a crowd. And I would expect that numbers will be down this year across the Big Ten attendance-wise, and that might be something that comes back next year. I actually did just, for whatever reason, about a half hour ago, look to see on Wisconsin's website the cost of tickets, and they are still, I mean, they're still readily available. So it's I would expect that you're not, I mean, maybe for the biggest games and the real hotbed, maybe you would sell out Auburn, I think, will be very well attended.
Yes,
obviously, and Ohio State's going to draw well when Penn State goes out there, but. But I think for a game that's not a traditional rivalry, I think it might be a tough sell.
All right. So what is the theme that you're looking at early with Penn State? What are you interested in seeing on Saturday right out of the gate that's going to pique your interest?
Could they make a big play?
Yeah.
That's why. I think that's both sides of the ball too. I mean, it's, you know, that's how you beat Wisconsin. You make some big plays here and there. And you know, a couple of years ago when they had Wisconsin at Beaver Stadium, and you know, and Taylor hit that 71-yard run early, you thought, oh my, you know, they're in trouble. And it didn't really turn out that way. But most games against Wisconsin aren't like that. They're more like the Big Ten championship game where you make some big plays against them, and that's how you kind of sideline them. But I think Jaquan Brisker said it this week, and when they say it a couple times on a teleconference or Zoom or whatever they're calling them now, but when they say it a couple times, you know they've been told it by coaches. He said the key word this week is start fast, and I think that would kind of erase some things for them too. The better you start on Saturday, the less you have to worry about. Hey, was last year a something that's, you know, starting slow last year, something that's going to linger into this year. You get up to a fast start, you don't worry about that. I think that kind of takes Wisconsin out of their game too. They were a fast starting team, so you know they came out last year and really blitzkrieg Wisconsin, or excuse me, Illinois in their first game. You know, with Mertz, you know, they got to get to Mertz early, make some big plays, maybe get a turnover. You know, Dotson, I think, is going to be a really huge player in the first quarter in this game. So I think they really need to to make some plays early. And how do you go about doing that? Well, you have to have an offensive coordinator willing to take some chances, and I think they have that.
Something Dick Girardi and I talk about all the time when we do a basketball broadcast together, and it then warps into how I view football, too, with Jack. I think you got to play with the lead. I mean, playing with the lead as opposed to the mental side of playing uphill, and especially against Wisconsin, because eventually I think they want to throw the ball early just to show they can do it, but then they want to settle in and run the ball. Well, if you keep them from settling in and running the ball, you then take away a dimension that's theirs because you're playing with the lead.
Yeah, absolutely. They're a very traditional team in many ways, and they know they could run the ball. They go into every game thinking that no matter the opponent, they're going to be able to run it, but they're going to want to be able to get the lead. And the only way you can run the ball successfully, to me, and consistently in this day and age, is do it with the lead. You can't run the ball well from behind. I mean, very few teams can do that, and I don't think you can do that in the Big Ten anymore. But yeah, you got to go out and throw the first punches. You're in a heavyweight fight. This is the season, really, in a lot of ways for both of these teams. Nobody wants to lose this game, and that's so trite to say it because obviously you don't want to lose any games you play. But you lose this game, it's going to stick with you the rest of the season in your minds and the reputation with the polls and opponents are going to see it too. It's just such a humongous game. I can't remember any kind of game like this where I thought, you know, they have a legitimate chance to win and go on the road and they haven't gone on the road in a true road game against a ranked opponent to start the season in, 36 years.
It's
a very, very big atmosphere for them. And that's how you. I mean, a lot of people on the. I thought this was kind of funny on the Zooms this week. We're asking players about the jump around. You know, what do you think about that? And I forget which player answered. It might have been Brisker or Tariq, but one of them said, you know, I don't worry about what they're going to do in the fourth quarter. You know, we want to be establishing what we're doing by that point. It's a very. Very, very simple. How you attack Wisconsin? You go out, you take the lead, you force them to play a game they don't want to play,
right.
And that's what Penn State needs to do, and they know that.
Right, exactly. Brisker, of course, it's part of that Lackawanna pathway because he and Jair Brown together out there. What have you thought of Brisker's development here? Because he came in with a good reputation, and it looks like he's enhanced it as time has gone. Now he's getting a lot of preseason recognition.
Yeah, Brisker's one of those guys, and when he was here, I think it's going to sound weird, but I think when they were all here, when all three of those guys were here, I think the biggest prospect out of the three of them going to Penn State was Wiggin.
Yeah.
Because everybody kind of thought, you know, he's got the right body type, athleticism was off the charts, mm-hmm. things like that. And Brisker was kind of, you know, he's a guy who was having a big season, and you wondered about his numbers. But you watch Brisker play, you saw what you're starting to see at Penn State. Very versatile player. He could play the run. You could switch him, and you could play him a cornerback in a pinch. He'd do okay. You could put him at linebacker if you want. And in fact, Brent Pryce said that if he was going to be here for another year, he might consider using him a little bit as a linebacker. Mm-hmm. I think his tackling is really, really special. He doesn't miss many tackles. And now he's playing a position with Penn State at the free safety spot that he played quite a bit with Lackawanna. He's able to go out there and do what he's comfortable doing. And when he's comfortable, you see a totally different player. And you're seeing that not just on the field with Penn State, but as a leader. I mean, it's shocking to me. I just think it's a great story that a kid came in from junior college and made himself a captain at Penn State. That is so difficult to do. I don't know if anybody's ever done that before.
Yeah.
I think he's just been such a special guy. He's an all-time player at Lackawanna just from the season he had. I think it was 2018. I think he led the team in interceptions and sacks and tackles in a bunch of categories of safety shouldn't lead the team in. But you know, he's not going to have that kind of an impact on this defense. But I think he certainly I would. My money is on him being the best defensive player Penn State has this year, and I think he's got to have a big season if this team wants to go places. I think he's a difference maker just because he's a solid football player, could do a lot of different things.
Yeah, and that's, you know, and look, he has the ability, he has great cover skills. He's developed into a great cover guy. You can also play him in the box, to go back to your point, Donnie, about the point about his ability to maybe play an outside linebacking spot, because he can play in the box.
Yeah, he played a lot in the box at Lackawanna. I mean, it's all just labels, really, but he played safety out of the box. Now, does that make him a linebacker at Lackawanna? I mean, they didn't call him that. They had other linebackers on the field. But he played a very, very different position than anybody I've ever seen when he was in junior college. And I wondered, you know, how is he going to translate that, what he was able to do well at Lackawanna, onto the field at Penn State. And I thought, really, that in 2019 you started to see it a little bit. He was playing a bit out of position. He's better at free. But yeah, I thought he had a great Cotton Bowl. I really thought he played well. He was one of their best safeties in that game. I thought he really could have played more, but there were some, you know, they had some guys there who had played well, Garrett Taylor, over the years, and those guys got the play, and Taylor ends up making a big play that game. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's one of those deals where once he got where he was going to go, which is back to the free safety spot, and they started to use his versatility, he became a much more confident player. And you know, look at the four games they won last year. I don't think it's unfair to say Brisker was the best player on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just don't think it's unfair to say. I mean, he was great against Rutgers, really, really strong against Michigan, and you know, and he gets sideline to sideline to the safety. That's very, very, very difficult to do. And you know, you could ask him to do anything. Like I said, if you want him to play cornerback, I think he would do well in a pinch. He's that good a cover guy. So, but he also plays the run well. He tackles well. If you want him to go after the quarterback, he could do that. He's one of those. How everybody on that team looks up to him. And Jordan Stout said this week during one of the calls, you know, he might have the biggest voice in the team. It's just shocking to me how quickly he's developed into that role.
Yeah, it is, because, I mean, you know, for anybody coming into something new, it takes a little while to trust people around you. You know, he's the kind of guy that once he does, man, he is with you all the way. He's a loyal kid. What about the combination? Ellis Brooks is a really smart linebacker, really smart. He plays the game as much with his brains as he does with his legs. But what about Brandon Smith and Curtis Jacobs in the spot they're in? What are you thinking and how anxious are you to see how they perform in their respective spots?
Well, they're in position now. I mean, it's very easy to say, oh, he's playing linebacker, but he's not really. You know, Brandon Smith played linebacker last year, but it's not the, it wasn't the position he should be playing. He's playing in the linebacker spot he should be in, and he, you know, he's going to make a, I think he's going to make a big difference, or at least he's going to fit in a lot better than he did where he was last year. And the reason he could do that is because Jacobs fits in. Now, you know, I asked a couple of guys about the linebackers this week, and everybody raved about Jacobs. They said this is the guy who could play safety. Somebody said he could play receiver. You know, he's just the guy who can move all around. He's so athletic. He is the guy they need to cover out of the linebacker position. He'll be on tight ends. He'll be on slot guys. He's going to do some things that Brandon Smith was doing last year that really aren't Brandon Smith's game. And you know, Smith did okay at times, but. Now he's going to be playing a position where he can make a bigger impact, and now you got Jacobs out there making a bigger impact than what Smith was making, and that just, you combine that with Ellis Brooks, who I thought was really, really solid last year when I went mm-hmm. back and really studied that. I think Brooks is, you could do a lot worse than Ellis Brooks in the middle, but I think this linebacking course is a really sneaky chance to be very good, and I would be, I would dare to say I think that's going to be a group that stands out on Saturday.
It's interesting because a guy that has a lot of experience that has been able to slide over a spot is P.J. Mustipher. And when you look at Wisconsin and you see the depth chart, you see senior or fifth-year senior, senior, fifth-year senior, except the three guys in the middle, center and the guard combination, are all seniors or fifth-year seniors, except none of them have ever started a game. I think that ends up being a big matchup in this game. What is your thought?
Oh, absolutely. I was just writing this. You're stealing my thunder here, Steve.
That's what I do, Donnie. I just steal the good stuff from everybody.
But you mentioned Mustafer, and I think that's a big point. He's going to be more in. There's going to be a better chance for him to play to his strengths. But I mean, I'm really looking forward to Beamon. I think he could be very good. As a guy who makes some things happen against a group of big people, at Wisconsin. I really think Wisconsin's line, somewhat kind of similar to Penn State's in the way it's constructed, where you got those two tackles. I certainly think Penn State's tackles are better than Wisconsin's do, but experience wise, they're both a guy. The tackles have played a lot for both sides, but it's just a matter of how are they going to make it fit in those three interior spots. And Wisconsin, to me, has a lot more questions there than Penn State does. And I think Mustafer, Beamon, Tangelo, those guys, whoever gets to step in there are going to be have a chance to really make an impact on stopping the run this week. And Wisconsin, we said it earlier, they want to run the ball. They have a reputation for being able to run the ball. They have a lot of questions at running back too. They really do, and I think Penn State has a chance to shut the running game down. Maybe not completely. They didn't 2 years ago, but statistically anyway. But I think they have a chance to make it so that the Wisconsin has to throw it a little more than they want.
Wisconsin averaged 3.93 yards per carry last year. In the world, in the truest definition of atypical, that's atypical of Wisconsin. I think they want to somehow get past 3.93 yards a carry.
They want to be 1.5 higher than that, I believe.
Probably. And if Penn State keeps them down in the threes, they're going to be happy on the plane of the way home. Donnie, always a pleasure. Appreciate you very much.
Thanks, Steve. Always a pleasure to do it.